You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
It's brought to you by the PFL, the Professional Fighters League. I'd like to start off ENN tonight by saying good evening to Don.
These people smoke dope.
And good evening to myself.
We just want the sausage in our mouth.
What did you think was going to happen, Peter? Seriously.
And good evening to myself again. Scott in Muchen. Metuchen, sure. I didn't think much of it. And now hearing it back, Don, there's some potential there.
Well, Muchen?
Yes. Andrew, any thoughts on that?
That's an egregious error, I think. Metuchen is not a no-name town. It's on like the Northeast Corridor train line. They got a stop on that.
I've heard of Metuchen. And the second I was corrected, I was like, "Oof, that was a bad gaffe." I have a lot going on. I'm looking at a lot of things. I looked up and I missed the T kind of. I just saw M E U C H E N.
Scott
in Muchen. Metuchen, sure. Don, it's not good. Really not good. Let's say good evening to both me and Don.
And you know who's on the hill, Don. Who's you know.
It? Yeah, say it. I can't remember.
I loved how sheepish the say it was. It was almost inaudible. It was almost like when Michael did Who Let the Dogs Out. How like you whimpered it. You barely even said the words.
I felt bad. It wasn't on my radar today. I'm sorry.
No,
took the dogs out.
Can I hear Don one more time?
And you know who's on the hill, Don?
Who's
you know.
It? Yeah, say it. I can't remember.
Cookie Carrasco.
And give me my little cookie.
And lastly, good evening to myself one more time.
I think I might have removed that one. That's it.
Oh, forget
oh, no.
it. It's gone. It was there.
What are you removing?
There was a bear drop that now gone.
Get out of there, bear.
Okay. And good evening to Richard in Connecticut.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Someone tweeted earlier saying that Richard was like the anti-Ray. I thought that was a very good take.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Peter subs. That's what I'm saying. Hello.
And he closed it with telling me he loves me in WWE.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all.
He was literally the anti-Ray. If you missed it, earlier on the program, we spoke to our friend. I don't want to say I call him a best friend, but very good friend, Aaron Boone. And he offered some pretty awesome praise for Giancarlo Stanton.
He seemed like early on, you know, bore the wrath of fans if he, you know, didn't get a hit in a certain situation. He handled it with such professionalism. And, you know, sometimes what I say with Giancarlo, and I hate to say this sometimes about a person, but it really is a compliment. He's a superstar player in person, but he's super low maintenance. Like, he's so just dependable in who he is as a person. And, you know, I've developed a really good relationship to where I feel like he and I really communicate well with one another, but he's become someone that people on this team really look up to and admire and appreciate how he goes about his business, how he goes about his work. And we're really lucky to have a guy that is a pro. He's an absolute pro.
Didn't it make you think, Don? This is probably the negative media guy's way of looking at this. When he's telling you about how great a guy Stan is, are you thinking a little bit, who's the bad guy you're thinking of? Who's the one you asked, what does a high-maintenance player look like? I wonder who the high-maintenance guy in that locker room is right now.
God, I wouldn't want to have to guess.
Be fun if you did, though.
Yeah, it would be fun if he revealed to us, but I knew he wouldn't. But I just wanted to
lift it up and show it to me.
Like in our business, a high maintenance guy is somebody that you really have to go out of your way to praise when they do well.
Right. The kind of guy who, anytime anything goes wrong, says maybe I should go.
Okay.
The kind of guy who wants all the credit, doesn't want to share it.
You know how I give a little extra? I work really hard.
A guy who openly admits he's rooting for himself.
Sure!
That's what sounds, Don, that's high maintenance.
You know, I'm going to throw a name out just because
I love
of
it.
His little picadillos that we saw.
I have one, too. What's yours?
Mine would be Cole.
Me, too!
Yeah. Just because, you know, like he was irritated that it took so long for Billy Crystal to throw out the first pitch.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
And listen, it's not a bad thing. It's just that's somebody that you got to kind of keep an eye on. Like, you know.
For Pete's sake.
That you might have to go over and that he's going to be irritated about something. Like part of the high maintenance, right, Peter, is someone that you don't have to do anything. Like when they strike out, you don't have to give any encouragement. When they hit a home run, you don't have to give them a high five. You just don't have to do anything. He shows up to work, doesn't complain, does his job, doesn't matter. In the lineup, out of the lineup. Like there are probably some guys
coddling,
you got to talk
no
off the ledge
necessary.
When they're off. Right.
Now, a couple of moves today. Mentioned it earlier, bears repeating. Seve to the 15-day IL. However, Loaisiga back from the IL, and also Tyler Wade is coming back to the Bronx. Not immediately, but he will be here. They got him from the Angels, who DFA'd him earlier in the month.
Why would they do that?
So, we'll see. Now, also being reported that the Yankees are unlikely to pursue a trade for Andrew Benintendi.
A very strange trade.
And that the vaccine situation actually may be a factor in that. So we'll see, as we are just now 5 days away from the Midsummer Classic. They call that the All-Star Game, Don.
That's right. You excited? You can be honest.
Absolutely not. Will I watch the Derby on Monday, though? Yeah. Fun one to bet, too. I'm going to jump on FanDuel, Actually, my FanDuel's completely cleared out after that huge meltdown during the NBA Finals.
It happens.
I know, but it really hurts to go all the way to zero. I was up pretty high there for a minute.
And you got a $5 minimum bet, right? So if you're working like with $4.95, you're not going anywhere.
No, it's not $5. It's actually a matter of cents, but I think I'm at zero. I can't even make a 10-cent bet. It's absolutely, I have
oh,
nothing.
Oh, really? So I know some don't even let you make a bet unless it's $5. Like, what are you doing, betting pennies? Get help.
I look at it as the opposite. I mean, I see what you're saying. But all right, let's move along. Want to talk a little football for a moment?
Please, desperately.
So Jeff Darlington tweeted something I mentioned on SportsCenter this morning. I wouldn't sweat the Kyler Murray contract negotiations. Based on my conversation, talks are going smooth. And getting a deal done before camp remains a very reasonable likelihood. Mm-hmm. The drama of February feels long in the rear view.
Yeah, because where's he going? You know, and they need him.
And what are they doing?
Yeah. This has to get worked out. Nothing worse than not having a quarterback. The only thing might be having one but not being able to have him play for you.
Yeah, or listen, the only reason this got complicated really is because of how miserable that last performance was for Kyler. I mean, he played a non... I can't even say what he did was play a football game in that playoff game, Don.
But so what?
I understand, but it feels like that is where it made maybe just him uncomfortable and made him more protective of his future because he saw how quickly the conversation can change on you.
I know, but why should it change? Listen, I think when he got off to the great start, it was something like special, but I think people knew it was going to level itself out. Had a bad game against a team that turned out to go ahead and win the Super Bowl, correct?
Yeah.
They lost to the Rams.
No shame there.
All right, so, and he was awful. But again, I'm not saying that Eli Manning's the greatest quarterback ever, but Eli Manning was able to have what many people believe is going to be a Hall of Fame career. In his first playoff appearance, they got shut out at home against the Panthers. Looked awful. You know, so I think sometimes we just put too much, we build guys up because they had the first 10 weeks, they were the best team in the NFC, and we built it up, and he didn't live up to whatever expectations we created for him, and now he's a bum. Now, I don't think he helped his case coming off not a great second half and a bad playoff game and then start demanding money. But I'm not ready to throw him away. And I still think, and we didn't really spend a lot of time on this, with Dan Orlovsky not having him on the list of the top five best quarterbacks under 25 was egregious, to say the least. Which I think he just plumb forgot.
Let's move from Kyler Murray to Lamar Jackson.
Shall we?
I don't know if you saw earlier, but former Raven Bernard Pollard was getting into it with Lamar on Twitter.
Oh, no.
He tweeted, "No top wide receiver will ever come there while LJ is there." It's Lamar Jackson. "Plenty of wide receivers have been available to get in the offseason while LJ has been starting, but nobody wants to go. They gave him the respect, but they don't want to play with him. He's good, but he's not able to make the throws." Jackson replied, "You've been capping since I've been playing for the Ravens. I've never heard of you, to be honest, my boy. You got your Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed." Pollard wrote, "Facts are facts. Make sure you call me champ. Good luck getting one."
Oh, no.
We have audio from Pollard as well. Let's hear exactly what Bernard Pollard says about his beef with Lamar.
"He's responded, and he wants to argue back as far as for his sake. And I'm cool with that. You can nobody knew me. You had to Google me. I didn't go to the Hall of Fame. I don't care about the Hall of Fame.
No, Bernard.
What I did was I knocked suckers' heads off. That's exactly what I did. I don't care about no Hall of Fame. I don't care about getting no accolades from anybody. When we stepped on the football field, 31 was going to be in the place that he was supposed to be, and he was going to knock your head off you. If you came in his spot, or if I made contact with you by running to you, I'm trying to do whatever I can to knock you out." So I as far as him, the personal attack, that's fine. He said he's going to run me over. Well, I'd have took his head off. I promise you he would not have finished the game.
Okay, shut up. That to me just is somebody that's not playing anymore and wants to just get it's now become like a cottage industry now of like former athletes just trying to find some relevance and starting trouble with current athletes. Listen, why does he have to go? Nobody wants to go play with you. Like, how does he know that? And he doesn't care about anything but just knocking people's heads off? Now, Lamar didn't have to come at him as strong as he did, but he started it. Lamar Jackson won an MVP. That doesn't matter. Now, I do think there are questions about his arm.
But, like, we know that.
But it's he won an MVP. Team goes to the playoffs or close to it every single year. Relevant every year that he's been the quarterback.
Pollard says Lamar's not good enough to take this team to the Super Bowl.
"Has he gotten better since day one of being there? Yes. Is he an inconsistent football player at the quarterback position? Yes. I truly believe he's a top 10 talent, but not a top 10 quarterback. I do agree he's gotten better, but when it's all said and done, I do not believe he's a consistent quarterback that's going to be able to take this team to the Super Bowl."
Okay, I mean, that's fair. It's not an egregious opinion, but, like, nobody wants to play. Where did that come from? No wide receiver wants to play with you? Is that a fact? Is that something that, wide receivers have told you, or is that just something you're throwing out? I don't know. Have you heard that?
No. I mean, I'm thinking about, I know Brown left. You know, they have lost receivers. That is true. But I don't know whether or not, in fact, there are people who are in play and they'd lost the option because of Lamar. I think Jackson's a pretty highly regarded player from everything I can tell and how he's talked about.
I don't know, man. I just think it's kind of aggressive, don't you? I mean, why did he have that opinion in the first place? Was he on some show?
I saw someone post earlier that he's been taking shots at Lamar since they drafted him. He's just not into him.
All right, but is he in a place where he's asked about it? Does he have
it
to give an opinion?
It sounds like... Listen, I have no idea what Bernard Pollard does in terms of media, but it sounds like, Don, hearing that call, he's doing his share of media. So he has a radio show. He has something.
Okay.
Didn't it sound like that?
We all have to have opinions, right? And it's okay to have an opinion.
That was from KJM, but he sounds to me like someone who's doing plenty of talking about this team.
But, you know, if he's talked to receivers, if it's a thing that nobody wants to play, all right, then go there. But he has won an MVP, and he's top 10 talent, maybe not a top 10 quarterback, but they've been able to make it work. They've had a ton of injuries, and every year they just seem to be there in a really difficult division. So now we'll see. Roethlisberger's gone in Pittsburgh. Cleveland's probably not going to have their starting quarterback for much of not, if not the whole year. And we'll see. It'll be between them and Cincinnati who's the wild card team and who's the champion of the division.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brittany Griner's Russian teammate and GM gave character statements in a court appearance today in Russia. Brittany Griner was there as well. They said, quote, "Our task today was to tell the court about her characteristics as an athlete, as a person. Tell about how she played a big role in our success and Russian women's basketball as a whole." Their appearance is believed to be the first in-person contact Griner's had with anyone she knows besides her attorneys since she was arrested on February 17th. She's expected back in court on Friday. The judge on Friday is expected to directly interrogate Griner.
This is so ridiculous. So think about what you're saying when you say character witness. As if having drug paraphernalia is like a reflection on your character.
And it was CBD.
Right. So, you know, something that's becoming more and more, listen, it's illegal there. And I she can't necessarily get up from that. I get it. You got to be careful. You've said it many times, leaving different countries. Everybody's got their own set of rules, but like, really, is she injecting anything? It's not anything that's a big deal that you're going to need, like, character witnesses. It's not – she didn't murder anyone.
By the way, Don, can I throw something out there, though, too?
Yeah.
It's such a legitimate possibility, by the way, that it's not legit – that even the claim isn't legit. I mean, listen, of all the places in the world where you were to tell me, is it possible the government could see an opportunity with an American as they're about to invade Ukraine – and they know where the U.S. stands on that, and they could use a high-profile athlete as a pawn, Russia's the first place you guess.
Yeah.
So you can't even tell me we know for a fact that she had
right.
the CBD on
You don't
on
know.
She I'm pled just, guilty, but what choice would she have?
But let's just say that it
Go
is
ahead,
true.
Right. Assume it's
All
true.
Right. That she had drug paraphernalia. It was a very low end. It wasn't heroin. It wasn't LSD. It wasn't cocaine. That you're going to have to sit there and talk about her character as if she lacks some sort of character for making that mistake. I could see if you murder somebody, conspiracy, like robbing somebody, where you got to defend their character because that shows that you're a low character. Is what she did Peter, would you even bat an eye the kind of person she is based on that?
Of course not.
And also what I'm getting to is I'm not really sure what good any of this is going to do.
This, what's your feeling? Like, what's your gut hunch? Do you think she gets convicted?
Yeah. My gut is that this trial is all fugazi. They're going to do what they want to her. Now, what that ends up being, ultimately, I don't know what the maximum is that she could get. I don't know if they'll even give her the maximum, but I do believe that they'll find her guilty because they want to.
It's literally the perfect storm in terms of everything you wouldn't want to happen. You know what I mean? It's everything. That February 17th, days before they invaded Ukraine, everything was set up perfectly for this to be a nightmare. And LeBron James took some heat this week because a clip from The Shop came out in which he was critical of the U.S. for what they've done. And he kind of walked it back and said the clip lacked context or whatever. And he made clear that he wasn't trying to in any way run down the U.S.
It wasn't a great moment for him. Again, I don't know all of what was said, but it did have that love it or leave it vibe to it. Those types of people would have like a problem with his opinion. But even beyond that, I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I don't know what more we really could do. I mean, the president's been on it, so it's not like it's been ignored. But it's also a very, very sensitive time.
Well, what do you do? This is my thing, is that, like, first of all, I was thinking about this morning. I was listening to an episode of The Daily about it, and you don't know how history is going to play out. Like, this Brittany Griner story could start out as something that was a sports story that you heard about it there, and the conversation grew, and it could end up being a really big piece in this relationship with Russia. You have no idea where it goes, but with how tenuous things are and the way Russia must feel about the U.S.'s backing of Ukraine, I mean, I'm personally incredibly upset about the Griner thing and really want her to come home. I had her jersey up in the background on the show today. It's very meaningful, but I don't want to risk a nuclear war for it.
Well, see that's...
So, It's very tenuous.
No, it really the whole thing going on with the Ukraine right now. I mean, it's so easy for yo-yos like me to say that why are we not, you know, showing military might, and because there's serious ramifications to doing that. I mean, literally, we're teetering on World War III to do that. So, as outraged as you can be, it's easier said than done to just go out and do something about it. And as awful as you feel about Brittany Griner and what she's going through, in the grand scheme of things, like you said, do you really want to have a nuclear war over it? Do you really want to have World War III? Because that's kind of what we're being probably baited into doing, right? I mean, I think everything that Russia's doing right now is trying to bait a reaction. And you try to do what you can do, but you don't want to set off something that ends up being even more catastrophic for even more people.
That's the thing. This could become a much bigger thing. Now, real quick, Phil Mickelson was asked about Tiger Woods' opinion on Live that we played the other day.
Live. Watch.
I think I've addressed that about as thoroughly as I'm going to.
I chose what's best for me and my family.
I'm tired of all this stuff. I mean, it's a situation.
I'm surprised at a lot of these guys because they say one thing and then they do another.
And Tiger really went hard talking about them Live players turning their back on the PGA, and Phil was asked about it and said, I made the right decision for me, and I'm excited about, like I say, having the opportunity to play competitive golf and have it in my life at a more moderate scale to where I can do some things outside of that too. Look, it's not my job to explain or help you understand or whatever. It's just I couldn't be happier. He basically said, I'm rooting for me, or to quote Dave Chappelle, yelled, I'm rich, bitch. That's basically what the statement is.
Do you think that, you know, we always make it about the money, right? and Tiger thinks that it's wrong that they're doing this to the PGA. Do you think a positive byproduct for some of these golfers is what they're doing to the PGA?
Perhaps. How do we know?
Like, Tiger seems to have this love and admiration for the PGA.
Well, it's worked out pretty well for him.
It's worked out very well for him. But I'm sure there's a lot of golfers that don't care about that.
No. Especially guys who have won one major or no majors. They win a tournament here or there. This is what they do. We talked about this. It sounds crazy because it's golf. But relative to pro sports, there are a lot of working-class golfers. And yeah. I mean that relative to sports, obviously. These are guys who are still making $1 million. But I'm sure, Don, you have a lot of tour players making in the high six figures, very low seven figures, who, with the lifestyle they live, feel they need more money.
Well, because, you know, I brought this up before. Like, there's some golfers that are taking a Winnebago going from tournament to tournament. And if they make the cut and they're going to get paid something, they get really excited about it because now they'll be able to pay for their trip to the next one. And if they don't make the cut, Peter, then they don't make any money, and it was a waste of time. Now Liv is telling you, listen, you're going to make money no matter what. Play horribly. You're going to be guaranteed a minimum amount of money.
And if you're not some face of the PGA, you're supposed to be like, no, 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 my allegiance is to PGA. I care about them. Come on, stop. That's ENN, by the way. It's brought to you by the Professional Fighters League. Back on Friday, August 5th, watch MMA's League live from the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden. Buy tickets now on PFLMMA.com. Your calls on anything, literally anything. It doesn't have to be sports, honestly. Whatever you feel like talking about.
Is that right?
Sure, 1-800-919-3776. Your calls next, Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's do that hockey.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.